Okay, people, on this morning, if you will, go with me to Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Hebrews chapter number 13, and we're just going to read one verse right here. Hebrews 13 and 17. And I'll be reading out of the New Living Translation. I'll go back and forth, but I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. And this is what it says in the 17th verse of Hebrews 13. It says, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. It goes on to say, their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. It says, give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. And it goes on and close on and say, that would certainly not be for your benefit. The King James Version says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit. Somebody say, obey and submit.
Obey.
It says, obey and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. And it goes on to say, for that is unprofitable to you. And we're going to talk about this morning, y'all. We're going to use for a subject the power of obeying and submitting to your pastor. The power of obeying and submitting to your pastor. I want to read something right quick. And I read this in a book. Actually, I read it on Jackson State Women's website. But this is something that was quoted. It says, if you can get all the people in the organization rowing in the same direction, you could dominate any industry in any market against any competition at any time. It goes on to say, talk about five types of dysfunctions that hinders that sometimes. And those five types of dysfunctions were absence of trust, fear of conflict, lack of commitment, avoidance of team accountability, and inattention to team objectives. So my question is, if we could get all of the people of EBC or St. John or the body of Christ as a whole, if we could get all the people going in the same direction, how could we fight against this world that we live in today? This would be a much better place if we could all get going in the same direction. I just read after that because we can only do that in the church if we submit and obey our pastor. Now, these two terms, obey and submit, the world has made them to be two bad words. Two bad words. Let's look at obey. Definition of obey. Obey, listen. Obey, it comes from the Hebrew word for obey is shama, which means to hear, to listen, to give attention, and to understand. So when we hear the word obey, listen to what it says now. It actually means to hear. Now obey, it does mean what we know, do what somebody tells you to do. Because we are to obey our parents. We know that, right? Yeah. You know, Ephesians 6 and 1, children, what? Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay, so that's what obey is. Listen to this, submit. Submit is to yield or defer out of respect. To yield or defer out of respect. So if the Bible says that we need to submit and obey to our spiritual leaders because it's profitable to us, I have to ask the question, why wouldn't we do it? If something is profitable or something is beneficial for me, tell me why wouldn't I do it? It really doesn't make sense, does it? No, it really doesn't. If something is going to benefit Clint Perkins needs to do it. He really needs to do it. Listen to this. The task of a church leader is to help people mature in Christ. Being cooperative greatly eases that burden of a leader. Does your behavior or does my behavior or conduct give my leader to report joyfully about me? Listen to what it says going back in Hebrews 13 and 17. It says, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to them. It goes on to say, give them a reason to do this with joy. So when Pastor Adams has to give a report on us, is he going to do it with joy or is he going to do it with sorrow?
Yes, sir.
Think about that now.
Yes.
Think about that. Kenny Wayne, when he used to talk about his deacons, Rob Reynolds, when we were on the deacon board together, if when he gives a report about us, what is he going to say? Well, I like to say he said those are the best deacons ever on the face of this earth, you know, along with the other ones, you know, that were deacons. But, you know, but our behavior. Do I have anybody in here who is a manager or supervises anybody? Yeah. Wouldn't it be easier if your subordinates did what you asked them to do? Yeah. And don't talk smack, Tiffany. You know, wouldn't it be easier if you gave a simple task and they did that task? It would be real easy. Very, very easy. Very easy. Listen to this. First thing we're going to talk about right here. It says, how can the pastor perform his task and help a member grow and mature in Christ? How can the pastor perform his task and help a member grow and mature in Christ? Well, all right, go with me, please, ma'am, please, sir, to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. St. John, y'all hear this all the time because we've been talking about it for several months now, several weeks now. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, starting with verse number 11. So the first thing is, and how can a pastor perform his task and help a member grow and mature spiritually? Well, first of all, we as a pastor, we have to understand our responsibility. We have to know what we need to do. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 4. Verse number 11, it says, now these are the gifts that Christ gave the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastor Doyle R. Adams Sr. and teacher, and the pastors and teachers. It goes on to say in verse number 12, their responsibility or our responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. That's Christ. That's what our responsibility is. Verse 13 goes on to say, this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. Now notice what it says right there. It says we will no longer be immature like children. We expect children to be immature, am I right? Because they're children. Am I right? Yeah. But we are, most of us in here, we are grown-ups. So we shouldn't be immature. But it's amazing why he said this right here, why the Apostle Paul said this. He says that we will no longer be, it says, then we will no longer be immature like children. It goes on to say, we won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Okay, listen to this right here, y'all. The job of a pastor is to teach us so that every time a new teaching, a new fad comes along, we won't fall for it. We will not fall for it. It's amazing to me how, and I've studied this, and this is just one of my things, and it's wrong. How people could follow Jim Jones? How are you going to follow a man who just uproots and moves to another country? You have to sell all your belongings. You have to give everything to him. That ain't in the Bible. And for y'all educators, that is not in the Bible. All right, but you know, that ain't in the Bible. How are you going to follow a man who has sex with other members of the church and saying God told him to do that, and all you can do is praise him? That ain't in the Bible. So why do we follow people like that? I don't get that, y'all. That's why we need a pastor. I heard somebody say earlier that, I think it was Tanya, somebody, that he's going to tell us what the truth is, whether we like it or not, whether we're trying to do it or not. Because truth be told, if you have a good pastor, he's going to say some things that's going to get on your nerves. And he's going to get on your nerves because we know he's right. Yeah, yeah. Okay, all right. So the first thing is we have to understand, as a pastor, we have to understand our responsibility. The second thing is, we need to teach God's word and to make sure the people know what the scripture is for. Because why would you read the scripture and you don't know what it's for? It's not going to do you any good if you don't know what it's for. Look at what it says in 2 Timothy 4, chapter, starting with verse number 1. 2 Timothy 4, verse number 1. New Living Translation reads, I solemnly urge you in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom. Listen to this right here. It says, preach the word of God. Somebody say, preach the word of God. Preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or whether the time is not. It says, patiently correct. Has Pastor ever had to patiently correct anyone? Yeah. I'm guilty. Has he ever had to rebuke anyone? Yes, I'm guilty. And encourage your people with good teaching. Has he ever encouraged anyone in here with good teaching? Yeah. Yes, he has. Yes, he has. It says, preach the word. Okay, go back, please. It says, preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Sometimes it's not really a good time to teach the word when we think it's a good time to teach the word. In other words, sometimes you have to deal with stuff that you really don't want to deal with. But as a pastor, you have to deal with it. It goes on to say, patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. It goes on to say, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. Yeah. Kind of sounds like now. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. I'm so glad that we have a pastor that just won't tell us what we want to hear. Amen. I'm so glad, because you know what? There are times when I really want to hear what I want to hear. And a lot of times what Clint wants to hear is not what he needs to hear. Yeah. And if you're honest, you're like that too. Yeah, you're like that too. So it says, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound doctrine. I tell people all the time, when you're looking for a church, you need to find somewhere where the word is being taught, like it is here at EBC, where the man of God who's teaching that word is following that word. I heard somebody say he doesn't preach one thing and live another way. That happens so many times. We need to make sure that we're in the word, as my mama say, where the word is being taught and we can eat, sleep, and drink it. That means we can do everything with the word. So it goes on to say, that's verse 3. Okay, verse 4. Go ahead, verse 4. It says, they will reject the truth and chase after myths. That's people who do not want to hear the word of God. So go with me, 2 Timothy 3, chapter 16, 15 and 16 and 17 verse, probably my favorite passage of scripture. And we're talking, this is the second reason on how can the pastor perform his task and help a member grow and mature in Christ. Listen to what it says in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It says, all scripture, somebody say all scripture. All scripture, not some of it, not just what we want to hear. It says all scripture is inspired by who? God. By God. And it is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Listen to this. It corrects us when we're wrong. I hate to be wrong. Does anybody here like to be wrong? If you like to be wrong, raise your hand. And if you know me, I can't stand to be wrong. And sometimes it takes a little convincing, Sister Brenda. It takes a little convincing sometimes for me to realize I'm wrong. But I do realize that if I live past 11:04, I'm probably going to be wrong again. Yeah, I realize that. It says it's useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. But listen to this. It says it corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Sometimes we just literally have to be told to do what is right. What is right. Okay, now, the next thing, and I'm trying to get through these so I can actually get to my main passage of scripture this morning. One main reason that we need to obey and submit to our pastor, and it's a very, very simple reason. One reason we need to obey and submit to our pastor, and that reason is, this is because it's for our benefit. I said it earlier, it's for our benefit. Let's look at Hebrews 13 and 17 again. Hebrews 13 and 17 says, obey those. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this for joy, it says, and not with sorrow. That certainly would not be for your benefit. I encourage everyone in here, when something is beneficial to you and is biblical, please do it. Please, please, please do it. Next thing. One way we obey and submit to our pastor. Now I'm getting into my main passage right here. This is how we can actually obey and submit to him. If you go with me, please, ma'am, and please, sir, to Acts 2, starting with verse number 42. Acts 2 and 42. Actually, go up to verse 41, please, if you have it. Acts 2 and 41. Well, 2 and 40. I told y'all I was going to try not to deviate, but I'm deviating. Listen to this. Can you put it up in the KJV, please? If not, listen to this. It says, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this other word, generation. Okay, now go back to the NLT, please. That same, listen to this. Go back to verse 39, please. That same verse. In the NLT. I'm wrong. Yeah. I know I'm messing y'all up. I'm sorry. All right. Let's just forget it. It's actually 2 and 42. This is what I'm saying is, it says, and with many words, and in some versions it says, and Peter preached a long time. So y'all do know it's biblical when Pastor Adams preaches a long time. That's my point in all of that. Y'all know he preaches a long time. If you know he preaches a long time, raise your hand. Oh, Pastor, look at him now. Yeah, but you know what? There it is right there. It says, then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourself from this crooked generation. Now we can go to verse 42. Where we start, okay, verse 42. Now, this is what we're getting at. One way that we can submit and obey to our pastor. This is one way we can submit and obey our pastor. And it is what it says in Acts 2 and 42. Acts 2 and 42 says, all the believers, that means everybody that's saved. It says all the believers. Now, this comes after the day of Pentecost right here. And this is considered the first New Testament church. It is the first New Testament church. And this is where all the believers, listen to what it says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. Listen to this. After we devote ourselves to the pastor's teaching, then we can really understand the power of obeying and submitting. You cannot obey and submit to somebody until you really understand what it is. I'm going to go back a little bit. Listen, when we obey, it comes from the Hebrew word shama, which means to hear, to listen, to give attention to, and to understand. Submit means to yield or defer out of respect. There's no reason that anyone in here should not follow biblical leadership. You can't find anywhere in the Bible that there's no reason for any of us not to submit and obey to our spiritual leaders. And I'm going to tell you something. There are a lot of people that are struggling because we refuse to submit. You can say it how you want to. You can dress it up how you want to. I'm grown. I don't have to submit. I don't have to obey. I'm a grown man. He can't tell me what to do. The Bible says we are to obey and submit. And when we obey and submit, things start to happen. Good things start to happen. I'll say this again. Men, if you are married, Brother John shaking his head. I guess he knows what I'm getting ready to say. If you are married and your wife is better at you than something that you are, you need to submit to her in that area. Amen. Which the Bible does say, submit yourselves one to another. That is in the Bible, isn't it? Yes. Men, you are to be the head. But if your wife is better than you, you need to follow her leading. Amen. On the job, man, if you have a lady that's your boss, you need to obey her. Am I right, boss, Lady Veronica? Yeah. You need to obey her. Oh, man, I get y'all, man, like y'all don't want to obey. I'm telling you something that's beneficial for you. You hear that, Danny Constance said, tell it. Men, talk to me, man. Why is it that we think we know everything? Why is it we think we know more than a GPS? Is that in our nature? Are we actually that smart? Women, how many married women in here whose husband is present? I want you to raise your hand. Ladies, if you have a husband in here who's present, I just want you to be honest. How many times has your husband done something that was just so ridiculously stupid? Wait a minute, why are you going to raise two hands? My first lady raised both of her hands. One of the deacons that came from St. John, his wife raised his hand. So are y'all saying we do stupid things? But you know what? And we do. We really don't have to tell a story about Pastor Franks. Pastor Franks was doing some electrical work one day at his house. And his wife told him to go turn off the electricity. Which is smart, I would think. Smart. You know, he's a man now. You're a man, ain't you, Pastor Franks? Yeah, he's a man. Oh, I got it. I know what I'm doing. He said after a while, the plows went one way, everything went one way. All she said was, I told you to turn the electricity off. Men, when a lady tells us to do something, we need to do it. Am I right? Okay, all right. Women, if you have a man who is a good leader, let the man lead. Let the man lead. When we understand the power of obedience and submission, it's for our benefit. When I understood the power of obedience and submission, that when you meet with people and they pull up the scripture, Ephesians 4 and 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. I don't know if you remember that. Wasn't really talking to me, but I was in that meeting though. I was in that meeting. That's what the scripture says. And she is my first lady, said that, so my job was to submit to that. My job was to obey that. Even though I'm a man and she's a lady, that was for my benefit. If somebody here listening to me right now that's struggling with obeying and submitting, what is to a man or a woman? Well, this is what God says right now. You need to start obeying and submitting. The Apostle Paul told the church at Corinth, he said, follow me as what? As I follow who? Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. When we follow legitimate biblical teaching, life would get better. Yes. We will understand things better. It even takes the sting out of death a lot of times, because we understand to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. Well, if you don't know that, and we are to grieve, I mean, we're not to grieve or sorrow like people that have no hope, because we have hope. You know, that's in the word. Yes. And so when we can understand and submit to that, our life would get better. I heard somebody say earlier that they follow his advice on finances. Anybody here ever had financial trouble? Yeah. So if you raise your hand, I'll raise my hand too, because I have. I have had financial trouble. It's no fun when you're broke. It's no fun when bills are piling up and what they say, you have more month left than you do money. That's not a good situation to be in. But when you follow biblical teaching and apply it to your finances will get better. Yes. Pastor Adams stood right here several years ago. It was before the pulpit was, before the stage was like this. And he said he wanted to get to the point one day where he can just write a $10,000 check and give it to somebody and not have to worry about it or whatever. You remember saying that? Well, you know what? I followed that biblical advice. And Pastor Adams, I got a check for you right now for $10,000. Just because I followed your biblical advice. So you have fun with that, man. Somebody might say, well, you don't have to do that, or I don't have $10,000. I'll tell you something. When he said it, I didn't have $10,000. But God told me to do that, and I did it. Amen. Now, that can go a long way for somebody who, it can go a long way for anybody. But it can go a long way for somebody whose first date was at Burger King. If y'all know the story. It can go a long way for somebody whose dream car was a Toyota Cressida. How many of y'all in here don't even know what a Toyota Cressida is? You know? Yeah, Toyota Cressida. Did I get that right? Yeah, that was a dream car, Toyota Cressida. But listen, I didn't do that for public show. I did that because I got to do it and what that man means to me. I am who I am largely in part to him and following his biblical teaching. Now, there were other people, but it's because of those two that I am who I am today. I don't take that lightly. Bill did introduction. Bill does not take that lightly. And I know a lot of other people don't, but Bill and I talk every day. And we and the majority of the times, you talk to pastor? You talk to pastor? Did you ask pastor? It goes, we appreciate that. I appreciate that. Pastor Franks, I appreciate what you did. Even though you were there 30 and a half years, I was there for a while, here for a while, then back there. But I appreciate that. When you have somebody who can stand up here Sunday after Sunday and teach God's word, you need to submit to him. You do not need to be concerned about tradition. You don't need to be concerned about what my mama said and what daddy said. You need to be concerned about what the word of God says. The word of God supersedes anything. Anything. Okay, now, when we learn how to submit to the word of God, listen to what it says in Acts 2 and 40. Well, I read 42. I'll read 42 again, y'all. Acts 2 and 42. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. Verse 43 says, listen to this. It says, a deep sense of awe came over all, over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. I have a question. Has anybody here ever needed a miracle before? Do you think it's better to call a miracle hotline or call your pastor? Yeah. I'm going to help y'all out. Say, call your pastor. Because somebody didn't say anything. And so you need to leave those miracle hotlines on. It says, a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. It goes on in verse 44, and it says, listen to this. It says, all the believers met together in one place. Come to church, people. Come to church. Come to Bible class, Sunday school, whatever, youth meeting, whatever it is, show up. If you can't make it, that's fine. You know, we get that. Show up. It says, all the believers, it said they met together in one place. You hear a lot of people say, well, I'm the church. I am the church. We are the church. But it says the church met together in one place. So you can say the church went to church. All the believers met together in one place. Listen to this. And shared everything they had. When we understand the power of submission and obedience, we will learn that God wants us to share with our other members. Now I'm going to put that in balance after a while. Okay. It goes on in verse 45. It says, they sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. Now, that does not mean go home today and sell your car and bring the money back to somebody here in need. Unless God tells you to do that. But what it's saying here is, if we consider ourselves a church family, we should be so close together that one can't fall for the other. When one person rejoices, we all ought to rejoice. When one person is in sorrow, we all ought to be in sorrow. It says they shared their money. Excuse me, they sold their possessions. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. Listen, y'all, we have people in the body of Christ who is in need. Who are in need. Listen to me, who is in need. Who are in need. Yes. And when we see somebody who's in need, we need to help those people. Yes. We really do. We don't need to call a business. If I have $100 in my pocket that I'm not going to do anything with, but go to T.J. Reeves. We went to T.J. Reeves Friday in Baton Rouge. And somebody ate but if we have $100 in our pocket and I know Danny needs $100, why do I need to go to the church and call a business meeting?
Teach us.
Why do I need to get 50 men together to come up with $100 and I have $100 right here that I'm not going to do a doggone thing with? Why can't I just give that money to Danny and say, God bless you, brother? Yes. Yeah, he said he'll receive it. All right. Sister Carolyn, Sister Brenda, it says they sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. Amen. Verse 46. Listen to this. It says they worshiped together at the temple each day. I know we have online audiences, and that's good. I believe in the social media platform. I believe in that. But there's power when believers get together.
Amen.
And that's the word. There's power when we get together. We can do things together that we can't do apart. We can't do that. It says they worship together at the temple each day. Then it goes on to say that they met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared meals with great joy and generosity. When is the last time that we shared something with someone with great generosity? Uh-oh, picking up more than thought it would. When is the last time we shared a meal with great joy and generosity? Or better yet, when is the last time we had somebody in our homes?
Teachers.
Oh, that's why you need to keep your house clean. Keep your house clean. Men, mow your yard. Mow it and trim it. You know, they worship together at the temple each day. Met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. I like how it said that. It said with great joy and generosity. As a Christian, as a born again believer, we are called to be, we should have a spirit to be so generous that the world just cannot receive it. I learned this from Pastor. Several years ago, a lot of y'all went here. I had left EBC then, and I was back at the church that I now pastor. And we went to see the New Orleans Pelicans play. The Memphis Grizzlies, that's who it was. And Pastor Franks and I met the y'all from EBC. We met y'all in Baton Rouge at TJ's Ribs. And so as we ate and everything, Pastor said, okay, y'all, we need to make sure that we leave a generous tip. So we came up with the amount of money that we per person, and Bill was taking up the money, and we had way more than what we had planned on doing. And Bill stopped counting money, and he was just, you know, putting it in a pile. We were generous with our giving. When you go somewhere and you have good service, tip the people. And even if they're not what they're supposed to do, still don't be rude. We're Christians, y'all. Amen. We're supposed to be different. Even though we are in this world, we're not of this world. We have to always let our light shine. We have to let Christ shine within us. We really do. Listen to what it says right here in verse number 47. It goes on to say, well, go back 46. It says, they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. Then it goes on to say, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. When is the last time that we've actually praised God and enjoyed the goodwill of everybody else? We had a vacation Bible class several years ago, and the topic of the Bible class was joy in Jesus. The J stood for putting Jesus first, the O for others second, and the Y for yourself last. When is the last time that you put somebody else's need or want ahead of yours? As a Christian, we should do that often. We should really do that often. When we learn how to obey and submit to our biblical leadership, we'll start seeing a lot of that. And I have to say, here at EBC, we do see a lot of that. We really, really do. I like how Pastor stresses outreach in ministry, because he has said what? He wants us to get involved in one, what, outhouse and one in-house. Have y'all heard that? If you've heard that, raise your hand. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand on that. If you have not been obedient to that, my question is why?
Teachers.
Yeah. See, I listen to the same messages y'all listen to. Every week, I do. St. John, I want to share something with y'all. Y'all know we're involved with Pilgrim Rest Community PRCD, y'all know what it is. It's a food bank. Pickering Risk Community, y'all know we're involved. Y'all know why that's one of my passions? Because when I was here at EBC, my outreach ministry was Northwest Louisiana Food Bank. I was a member here, but outreach, it was me and some other guys, we went to Northwest Louisiana Food Bank and we took boxes of food to people who were in need. Stuff that I looked at and I'm like, I wouldn't eat this. It was good stuff now, but I'm not a big tuna fan. You know, certain things now, I'm not above it because I was telling Kenitra on the way over here, I like bologna. So it's not like I'm a, you know, I'm all this and all that. But certain things I just won't eat. Well, I don't like to eat. But some people are glad to get stuff like that. So that's why that's a passion of mine. One way you can minister. Look, you can minister to people better when they full than you can when they hungry. Because y'all know if I preach too much longer, all y'all gonna be concerned about is he need a hush because I'm ready to go eat. And y'all know that's true. You know it's true. But listen, it says, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. Listen, we need to do everything we can to reach out to people that need help. And it's a shame, I'm going to go twofold on this. It's a shame that we have some political parties that don't want to help the poor. Now I'm not talking about people that won't help themselves. I'm talking about people that have fallen on hard times and can't help themselves. It's a shame. And it's a shame that we have other political parties who will say things like it's okay for a man to marry. Yeah. It's okay that we have any kind of, it's bad that we have any political party who will say or support anything that's contrary to what the Bible says. That's my advice to people is if we are a Christian, we don't follow Democrats. We don't follow Republicans. We follow the Bible. Yeah. Yeah. We have to follow what's in the Bible. I do understand that sometimes we will vote for a Republican or a Democrat, and that's fine. But we need to make sure that whoever we vote for follows what the Word of God says. It goes on to say, and after all, you know, the praising of God and enjoying the goodwill of all people, and after everybody met together and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, listen to this right here. It says, and each day the Lord added to the fellowship those who were being saved. Y'all, we have to understand, as a Christian, we need to live in a way that we understand that we are the only God that some people are going to ever see. We don't need to walk around with a Bible in our hand hollering, oh, praise God, hallelujah. If they ask you how the weather, oh, praise God, it's sunny. Praise God. And just say the weather is nice. I say this all the time. Be spiritual, but don't be weird. I can't stand being around spiritually weird people. When they answer the phone, it takes them 35 seconds to say hello. Nothing wrong with answering the phone, say God bless, whatever, but you want to go through 35 different scriptures and all you want to say is hello. Some people are so, I'll leave that alone. Listen, walk like Christ did. Jesus talked to everybody. He ate with people. Listen, as a born-again believer, we cannot only hang around with saved people, because if we only hang around with saved people, how are we going to get the unsaved saved? We can't do that. It says, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. That's the most important thing we can do, y'all, is win souls for Jesus. That's the most important thing we can do. But we need to make sure that we understand the importance of submitting and obeying our spiritual leadership. Just right quick, listen to this. You don't have to put it up on the screen. Listen to this word, obedience, obey. It means to hear, to listen, to give attention to. Submit is to yield. I didn't say this earlier. Submit means to yield or defer out of respect. There are sometimes that these two right here, And Pastor Frank's back there sometimes they told me some stuff that I did not agree with. Even though deep down I probably knew they were right. I did not agree with. But because of respect, I submitted to it. Amen. Women, the world has made submission a bad word to y'all, like I said earlier. When you understand the power of submission, I think you probably can ask your first lady. I don't know how much she has told this newer generation of EBC. But early on, it wasn't much, she wasn't much submitting going on. She'll tell you, wasn't much submitting. To the point of a whole lot of stuff that I let her share that with her. let her share that with y'all. But you have to remember, ladies, submission to legitimate leadership. Something that'll help you, ladies, as far as submission is concerned. When you know that joker ain't no good, because he wasn't no good when he was with your mama. He wasn't no good when he was with your sister. So what made you think he gonna be some good when he with you? Yeah. Yeah. Y'all have heard and know men like that. Be with the whole family. But there's somebody in the family who think that they are so good that they're going to make him submit. No, that joke ain't going to. Why? See, that's one reason a lot of people don't want to submit, because they're with the wrong person. Everybody trying to tell you he wasn't any good or she wasn't any good. Then you get married. Well, I ain't going to do what they say. Well, you know, you put yourself in that situation. Put yourself in that situation. Submission, men and women, when we learn who to submit to, how to submit, our lives will become much better. Make life better for your pastor. Don't be that church member who he says go left, you go right. Don't be that member. Do not be that member. But lastly, and most important of all, the most important thing we can do is what they say, they added to the church lately. Listen to what it says in Romans 10, y'all. Romans 10, I'm going to read Romans 10 and 9. It says, listen to this. It says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That passage of scripture ended earlier when it says, and those were added to the church, those that were being saved. Listen, this house right here is for anybody to come into, but we need to make sure that we are saved. I would really, really hate for any one of us to know someone and be in a relationship with that person, and their time here on earth expires, and we don't know if they're saved or not. We can talk about everything else in the world. We can talk about sports. We can talk about money. We can talk about sex. But for whatever reason, we won't talk about salvation. Listen to what it says. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart, verse 10, that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. It doesn't say you have to speak in tongues to go to heaven. It doesn't say you have to prophesy to be saved. It doesn't say you have to flip over benches. Any of that. Speaking in tongues and prophesying, that is biblical. But that you will hear people tell you that if you do not speak in tongues, you are going to hell. You won't find that anywhere in the Bible. It goes on to say, I'm going to go down to verse 13. It says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, it says, will be saved. KJV says, for whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen to this. My petition right now is, if there's anybody in here, in this building, or listening to me online, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, now's the perfect time to do so. Because I would hate, like I said earlier, to know someone, and then when they die, not knowing if they're saved or not. I want everybody to bow your heads with me right quick.